It's that time of year where many people will go home, they will start a fire in their fireplace or just flip a switch and turn the gas on, get their cup of hot chocolate, get a cozy blanket, I guess, and celebrate another Hallmark Christmas movie. Hallmark Christmas movies are a really interesting thing. Right? If you want to watch one, you have a few to choose from. Right now, as of yesterday, they say there are 503 different Hallmark Christmas movies. And I'm guessing, Trenton, you saw a few hundred of them already, I assume. Right here. Right? And if you understand the Hallmark Christmas movie, they're kind of crazy that they are so popular. But essentially, it is the exact same storyline, just flip out a different couple and do a different title, and you'll understand them. Right? And if you've never seen a Hallmark movie, here is the general way it goes. Right? You have the big city business person that doesn't balance home life with work life very well. That's assigned to take and fix some problem in this cozy, quaint little town, and it's days leading up to Christmas, and so the whole plan is go there, fix the problem, and get back. Right? And when that person goes there, whatever problem it was, whether it's to modernize a plant or to stop some festive holiday from happening or whatever problem it is, when that person goes to this cozy, quaint little town, suddenly nostalgia hits. And memories of a wonderful past come to light, and the real meaning of Christmas starts to take root. And apparently that person who was sent from the big city is the only person that can solve this problem. And then you have the nice, wholesome person from the town that meets her. Right? And that person, it's like big city versus small town, efficiency versus someone who has heart. That person has every single day in December free and they're doing nothing, and suddenly, by coincidence, the two of them have to work together on something. And all of a sudden, you see them decorating cookies and eating hot chocolate and putting up the lights together, and then some major disagreement threatens everything, and everything then suddenly works out. Christmas is saved, Cue the gentle snow. Cue the kissing and the mistletoe in the middle of the town square. Extend the credits, Wash, rinse, repeat. Another one. They are so popular that people start to write about why they're popular. And they even say that over 80 million people, every Christmas, at least for just a little bit, a few minutes, will turn on a Hallmark Christmas movie. And when you read about why they are so popular, it's because of this, they say. That generally speaking, people want to think that in the end, love is real and can be found. That good triumphs over evil. And that everything, everything finally does work out. It makes sense. I think especially during Christmas, for a lot of people, Christmas is not the most wonderful time of year. For a lot of people, it is, It's Q4. It's a lot of stress at work trying to get things all taken care of. For a lot of people, it's a brokenness in a family, in a relationship, a missing of a loved one, and they actually don't look forward to everything that surrounds this. And so you see why this Hallmark movie would be a great escape. But at the same time, if what people are longing for is a message of love is real, good triumphs over evil, and in the end everything works out, isn't that the heart of the Christian message? And so I want you to think about that this morning, because the Apostle Peter is going to essentially not paint a Hallmark Christmas movie picture of life for us, but I think help us understand why this message of Christmas, why the message of Jesus coming and living and dying is so important, how it really does change things. And when you first heard what Peter wrote, it's really not all that Hallmarky. The end of all things is near. Right? When I hear that message, I don't think Hallmark Christmas movie, I think crazy guy in a sandwich board, right, walking up and down the street. I've never actually seen that person, but I've seen it portrayed in cartoons. Right? The end of all is near isn't really a crazy message. It's actually a prominent theme in the Bible. Through the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus himself talks about that. Right? Some of the most comforting words from Jesus has to do with this. Right? Remember Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And he says, if I would not told you so, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going to bring you back to be with me so you may also be where I am. Right? Jesus connects the end with himself, and not in a scary way, but in a comforting way. And as we get ready for Christmas, we do have to keep that in mind. So as you think about Jesus coming in the manger, you have to also remember that that means that mission has been accomplished and that Christ's return is going to be true and it's going to happen. And the reason why in the Bible it always talks about this, it's going to be soon, even though that these words were written almost 2,000 years ago, so it doesn't seem that soon to us. Soon means that we just don't know when. And when you don't know when, it's going to change things. And Peter says, okay, here is this truth. Therefore, here's how we're going to live. And notice what he says. You're going to be alert of sober mind so that you may pray. Alertness and sober mind doesn't have a lot to do with refraining from alcohol. Instead, what Peter is speaking of, it's this clarity of life that's connected to Jesus. And when you have this clarity in life, this clear mind that's connected to Jesus, it's going to cause you to pray. Right? Here's what I mean. When you are talking to somebody and they're going through some kind of struggle and you make the intentional effort to connect their struggle to the promises of God, what does that lead you to do in the end of that discussion? Right? You usually say a prayer. When I make a visit with a shut-in who is sick, when I'm at the hospital, right, as we're talking about what's going on and their sickness, and we connect what's going on to the promises of God, what does it lead us to? We're going to pray. If you're really intent, and when you're reading God's word, and you're really kind of soaking it in and making that application in your life, what's it going to lead you to do? It's going to lead you to pray. So when you're alert and clear-minded, connected to Jesus, it's going to cause you to pray. And then notice what he says then, that now love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. This is not Hallmarky love, but this is that agape love, that selfless, always seeking the good of somebody else. And notice how Peter speaks about it. He says that when you're connected to Jesus, right, that's the love that God has for you when he sends Jesus for you to live for you. It's also then going to cause you to cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that sin isn't important or that sin can be just be, oh, don't worry about that. But it's your relationship with another person very often. It's an idea that when you understand God's love for you, you're not keeping this tally mark, this record. It's not changing how you're viewing that person. And if you're thinking of your own, it's not changing how you view yourself because you see that God's love for you no matter what. And then notice what he goes on, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That biblical word of hospitality is more than just making a meal, Christmas dinner. Instead, it's opening up your home. It's opening up your life. It's inviting people into it. It's serving them. And notice what he said, you do it without grumbling. And right, we all been there when it comes to family gatherings. Oh, I guess we got to host this year. Clean the bathrooms, clean the downstairs, right? It's a little bit of grumbling going on. But notice with hospitality connected to Jesus means it's not an obligation anymore. You are doing that because you understand what Christ has done, which also means his return is coming soon. Think about that. A community that loves deeply, that offers hospitality, that does it without grumbling or complaining, a community that is getting all along very well together, that's what Peter is describing. And you think about that and you connect that to a Hallmark movie, isn't that what the Hallmark movie portrays at the end? A place where everything works out. A place where everybody is getting along. A place where everybody is happy. A place where all of our dreams come true. And then you think, well, that's where all the wheels fall off the bus. Because one of the reasons people love Hallmark movies is because it's escapism. It's because that's what they wish their life was like. And it's what they don't have. But I think this is where we all kind of get it wrong. You do have it. It has to do a little bit with the idea in the gospel lesson. People trusting and also applying the promises of God and believing the promises of God. Everybody here, we all believe the promises of God. I don't doubt that one bit. But I know all of us, at various times, we fail to trust and apply. Right? We come here and we talk about the gospel. In a few days, we'll celebrate again the birth of Jesus. And then when you truly understand and remember what all that means, that in the person of Jesus Christ, God became one of us. That in the person of Jesus Christ, he did what we just always want to do but struggle to do. Right? Seeking the good of others. Looking past their faults, past who they are. Always having the interest of others at heart, right? All the failures, all the struggles that cause us to not have a Hallmarky Christmas, all that in Jesus has changed because Jesus lived and died and rose again, right? That is the center of the Christian message, right? It's not the peace that gets rid of the pain, the peace that gets you out of all of the problems you have in life. No, it's the peace that helps you get through it. And you're right. You probably don't see your life inside one of those movies because that isn't real. But when you're connected to Jesus, the reality of life, he allows you to get through it because of his promises that are always there for you. Right, you think about it. What often becomes the roadblock to this Hallmark Christmas for you? It's usually something that's involved in a relationship with somebody else. Some obstacle there that I have this friction with this person. Right? I struggle because of what they have done to me. I struggle because of what they have said to me. I've struggled because of what they have said to me in the past, and I just can't seem to get past that. Or if it's not that, it might be just how you look at yourself. I struggle with who I am. I struggle with the failures, right? All of that becomes what is the roadblock to this part of a life that Jesus says is ours now. And so that's why it is so important to once again to hear that and once again to step into a church again and hear that message of Jesus And that's not just the fact that he came to us at Christmas, that mission is accomplished, but what that means is he's going to return again. And notice when you do that, how Peter says it just changes your life. He says, you're going to use whatever gift and serve others. Right? Suddenly, we're talking about not the Christmas gifts per se, but like I told the kids, you. Your compassion and your kindness and your words. Notice how Peter speaks. When you speak to somebody the promises of God, you're not giving good advice. You're not giving just a little bit of encouragement. You are speaking the very word of God, which means that is super powerful. Which means it has the ability not just to change your life and your heart, but the person to whom you're speaking those very words. And you're serving, right, with the strength of God. Because I really think at this time, people struggle, right? They struggle with the fact, how am I going to get everything done that I need to get done? How am I going to be there for everybody that needs me around me? How am I going to be able to do work and family and do all those different things? And now, Pastor, I need to serve and be kind and to love. You do so because you're connected to Jesus and because you're able to apply the promises of God because you have the strength of God to get through. And then everything like that, what happens in all things, God's praised. At the end of many Hallmark movies, there is this picture of a home with this white burning fire in the hearth, just this inviting, peaceful, calm place. And you may not have that in your house, but as you connect your life to the promises of God and as you connect your life to Jesus, you truly see how your home, you, and the place that is in your orbit, how your home can be what Peter says. Because with Jesus, right, that's how you can love others. That's how you can serve faithfully. That's how you can offer hospitality. That's how you can make it through the loneliness at times and the struggle at times and the different obstacles. Because Christ has come into your home and Christ has come into your heart. And Christ promises to return again, to be with him forever. I look forward to seeing you here again in a few days as we give thanks to God for him coming into our house again. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's imluth.org. Have a great day.